It's time for Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio.
Good Monday morning, hon. It's time for Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio.
It's our way of starting the week right in our minds because we want to be immersed as much as we can in the Word before we run off into all the other things about the kingdom we talk about Tuesday through Friday. So a study program makes sense, and on Christian radio, programs are the thing. That's where everything started. Our ministry started that way back in the 1940s as the Morning Chapel Hour, and then through Life at Its Best and Compassion Radio when it began under that name in the late 90s. We're all about doing the work of the Word, but also focusing on the Word that does the work in us.
Well, knowing the Word helps you do the Word.
Certainly. You can't do it right unless you know the instructions. Mm-hmm. Again, the Word of God for us is a living thing. We talk about that time and time again, that we believe that the Word is a person, not just a bunch of lists of letters in a book. Mm-hmm. It is the person. It became Jesus Christ in the flesh. We know him by his historical presence and the work he did as a person. But the Word itself is even deeper than just the skin we see. Mm-hmm. And that's something we find everywhere we go in the world. You look in someone's eyes and you see Jesus there and you just know it because the Spirit of God is on them.
Yeah.
And that's what we're pursuing in this Chasing the Word series. Can we be close enough to Jesus that Jesus' likeness rubs off on us? That's our hope for you too. Mm-hmm. And that's why we want you to jump into the study with us.
Well, I really like what we're doing now in the book of John because it is the words of Jesus. It is the ultimate biography of Jesus' life, and we see from his closest friends who Jesus was and hear the things he said and see the things that he did. A really great way to get to know Jesus and chase him around the countryside where he lived and worked and died.
Yeah. And it's written, of course, by the man John, who was one of the younger disciples, and John was known even during the time that they were disciples of Jesus as the best friend, someone that Jesus just clicked with as a person.
Yeah.
So something about that relationship was unique, and all the other apostles acknowledged that as well. So much to the point that we hear that at the cross, Jesus said, "You take care of my mother.
Right.
You are now me to my family." When you hand that kind of baton to somebody and you trust them with that, you're trusting the future of your own loved ones to somebody's hands. That says a lot about the person.
It does. He had other brothers as well.
He did. And James the elder that became the apostle there in Jerusalem that wrote the epistle of James is known to be the younger brother of Jesus, an older brother than to John.
Right.
So let's jump into the end of chapter 8. We're going to finish up in this third segment the rest of the chapter from verse 40 through 59. So why don't you go ahead and read that?
Well, we just continue in verse 40 with Jesus stirring the pot again and again throughout this whole chapter. He just ended before saying, if you were Abraham's children, you would do what Abraham did. And in verse 40, but now you're trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You're doing what your father does. We weren't born of sexual immorality, they said. We have one father, that is God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me because I came from God and I'm here. But I didn't come on my own, but he sent me. Why don't you understand what I say? Because you cannot listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he's a liar and the father of liars. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Who among you can convict me of sin? If I tell the truth, why don't you believe me? The one who is from God listens to God's words. This is why you don't listen, because you're not from God. The Jews responded to him, aren't we right in saying that you're a Samaritan and have a demon? I do not have a demon, Jesus answered. On the contrary, I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I do not seek my glory. The one who seeks it also judges. I assure you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death, ever. Then the Jews said, now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, and so do the prophets. You say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death, ever. You're greater than our father Abraham, who died. Even the prophets died. Who do you pretend to be? If I glorify myself, Jesus answered, my glory is nothing. My Father, you say about him, he is our God. He is the one who glorifies me. You've never known him, but I know him. If I were to say I don't know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham was overjoyed that he would see my day. He saw it and rejoiced. The Jews replied, You aren't 50 years old yet, and you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, I assure you, before Abraham was, I am. At this, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus was hidden and went out of the temple complex.
Strange phrase there at the end, hidden. Another I am statement ends this chapter. We've talked a lot about how many I ams keep popping up in the story of Jesus and how important and integral it is to the identity of the Jewish people to say that they worship the great I am. Mm-hmm. Jesus, in that regard, is, as far as I'm concerned, yanking chains every single time because he's telling the truth and they don't like it. But of course, if anybody but Jesus would talk like Jesus talked about his nature, about his integrity, about his character, and testifying to that, not on behalf of himself, but as himself, we would say he's a madman.
And rightfully so. The things that Jesus is saying are very difficult to hear.
Yeah.
He's accusing them of being the children of the devil.
Because they won't follow the truth.
Because they won't follow the truth. And because they're listening to lies. Just before this, in chapter 8, it states that some of the Jews believed in Jesus. And so these people are part of this conversation as well. So this is probably a very difficult thing for them to really grasp. Believe that he is who he says he is, yet Abraham is our father, and he's talking about Abraham as if he knows him personally.
Yeah.
And it's all very confusing. It is a very confusing passage, in my opinion.
In modern English, perhaps, and it's going through street Greek into biblical translations over the many, many centuries, so we get just those little clips and phrases. So it's a translation of the original words already.
Right, true.
We acknowledge and we affirm the concept that the Bible is authoritative in that it tells the truth and that the closer we can get to the original language's intent and nuance on every single word, the better and the closer we're going to get to understanding what God was really trying to communicate to the soul. And it's beyond even language at that point. When the Word of God gets into us, it does something very organic with us. It grows something in us that from top to bottom, nose to toes, we're transformed by it if we really let the Word in. But we can't say that just because we think we understand what that one word means or argue over a word, that we've really captured the word. We have to go into it together and live with it and let God speak to us inside and out through the voices around us of people that we believe love Jesus like we do and are pursuing him. Mm-hmm. That's why we do this Chasing the Word series together.
Exactly. Honey, I want to ask you about Jesus' description of the devil, of Satan himself. He speaks very authoritatively on this subject as well as if he knows him personally, which we know he did know him personally, the demon, the fallen angel, Satan. And he talks about his character. From the beginning, he is a liar. I just want to dig into that just a little bit because it's intriguing to me. The relationship that Jesus as the son may have had with this fallen angel in prehistory.
Yeah, that's all speculation, of course.
Of course.
The way he seems to be approaching the name of the devil or describing them as children of him, he's always describing people by their nature, by their character, by their integrity. When he says, I am of my father, you can see that I'm fully of my father. If you call him this, I act like this. There's no difference. There's no separation there. And you see that, but yet you won't follow it. And yet the devil's got a character too. He is fully integrous. He has a kind of integrity that he's always consistently the devil.
Right.
He chose his path and he stuck to it. Something about his nature fundamentally altered, apparently, at the fall. So when the angels ran away from the presence of God, something about that connection to the Spirit, the holiness of God, was severed in such a way that I think it made a fundamental shift in their character. They can't be anything else but what they chose.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it seems to indicate. Lots of great theology over the years about those kind of issues. What is the nature of a demon? What is the nature of evil? Those things have been open for debate and investigation for centuries.
Absolutely, yeah.
But they're not something that's supposed to be obsessing us as if we're trying to figure out what is the devil like? How would I know him when I see one? Jesus gives a very simple illustration here. He says, if it's not like me, it's of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Simple enough. You know, there's a great story about how they train people to recognize counterfeit currencies.
Mm-hmm.
They train them not by looking at counterfeits. They give them years of studying the real thing. Mm-hmm. They feel the fabric that is woven into the mats that make the, what we call paper, but it's actually a fabric that makes dollar bills. And then they print it and press in such a way there's always a certain thickness and crispness to them. It has an ink feel and a texture. Mm-hmm. And they feel those things for years mm-hmm. to understand what the real article is. And then they start slipping in the things that are not. And they see how attuned are their senses at this point to recognize what is not a genuine currency. Can they find the counterfeit? Training people to see the real thing first and ignoring all the rest is the thing
that
makes people good detectors.
So that's our focus then.
Yeah.
We need to know so much about the real thing, about the true one of God,
yeah.
that we recognize when we see a fake. That to me is so important about what we're doing here.
Yeah.
That is the crux of what we're doing here, because we want to know the one true God. We want to know exactly what his character is. We want to recognize everything about Jesus that we can, so that when false Jesus comes around us in the world.
There are a million of them out there right now.
Exactly. I don't even want to call it the Antichrist at this point. I just want to say false Jesus.
Yeah.
Someone who claims they know and claims they are and has all of these, quote, great ideas. We need to be able to recognize when that is not the real thing.
Which means you and I need to put ourselves in the spotlight right now. So our listeners at Compassion Radio understand that we are not claiming an authoritative interpretation of a passage
Absolutely.
Of the Word of God.
No.
To the exclusion of everybody else's experience and walk with the Holy Spirit that is leading them to understand things deeper than they ever have before.
Mm-hmm.
Our challenge to you is, we're walking this path with you. We challenge you to get up and walk.
Mm-hmm.
Follow Jesus down the road and see what he has to say by his Spirit through his Word. Spend time with the Word.
Mm.
Read it.
And let the Holy Spirit grow in you and challenge you to know more about Jesus.
He is the authority. He is the teacher. He is the comforter. Now, in this context, I would say the Spirit as the comforter is important, because when we're wrestling with things emotionally, mentally, morally, and we don't know what the right path is or the next thing to do to follow him wisely, or we don't know we have the strength to do it, the Spirit's not just there to tell us what to do like a stern teacher.
Mm-hmm.
He's there to come around us like a good parent does and give us the hug we need to say, you're okay with me. My righteousness is your righteousness. I'm covering you. Let's just walk this out together.
And he reminds us of the truth. He reminds us of the holiness of God.
It always points us back to Jesus.
Absolutely.
Because you want to know what it's like to be the man or woman I've called you to be in this world? Look at him. I sent him to you. He was me with flesh on. That's what the Holy Spirit does.
Well, Jesus goes on to say, I am telling you the truth. You can't convict me of sin. Yeah. You can't find fault in me because I am following the Holy Spirit.
That's a legal analysis, by the way. He's just saying that if you want to accuse me in a court of law for being a blasphemer, then point out the fault. What is the thing that I've said that goes against the word?
Mm-hmm.
You can't find it. So he's giving them a legal reason to say, well, we have to find another tack then. And then identifying the fact that it's their vengeance and their pride that will eventually kill him, not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way they can catch him on a jot and tittle of the law because he's already living it to his fullest.
Mm-hmm. He knows it.
Yeah.
Deeply.
One more thing about the way these conversations happen. You know, it's hard to look at this banter going back and forth between all these different voices to figure out who's speaking.
Right.
We talk about pronoun trouble coming out of Greek and Aramaic. We have to think in terms of who is the initiator of the conversation, who's a receiver, who's speaking back, who's the person that the you refers to.
Mm-hmm.
When they say them, who is that?
Exactly.
And this situation where Jesus has all these people pressing in and firing questions and demanding an answer and him speaking back or over their shoulder to somebody else,
mm-hmm.
I think the closest analogy we have in modern day is look at parliaments around the world, especially the British Parliament. It doesn't have the same kind of decorum or quietude that our Congress usually has when they sit down to consider legislation. They are constantly firing
right.
back and forth at each other and firing questions and reacting emotionally to express themselves during the conversation. I believe that this kind of rabbinical model in the crowd with those who are fans and those who are enemies, it's probably very much like being in a parliament where you can't stop the cacophony. He is constantly, I think, Jesus, redirecting the conversation back to the point.
He's brilliant at it.
Yeah, and he can hear all these things. I think he's got some superhuman hearing.
For sure.
He's the Steve Austin, $6 million man of paying attention.
Some people won't know what you're talking about when you say that.
Another generation.
Yeah.
So that's why I think he's a hero of the method of teaching that says this is how you arrive at a consensus, not an evil one, but a consensus on what is really here. Can we all come down to the basics here? What do we all see that we can admit these are real? These are facts. These are the truths upon which we need to then discuss what comes next. Everyone's been trying to deconstruct Jesus to show him to be false at the very bottom. They keep reducing him down to little tiny things.
Well, they reduce him down to calling him a Samaritan even. And that I think that's just one of those...
absolute lie about his heritage.
Exactly.
It is speaking about him in a way that identifies him with something he really cares about. So for him, it's probably a badge of honor. You keep calling them the outcasts and the worst of the worst. I've made them a hero of the parables.
Well, it's an insult in their opinion. They're
absolutely
calling him a Samaritan. And you have a demon.
He's probably saying, great, because what you're saying about me, the way you're saying it, proves the point that there really is evil. There really are those who are in, those who are out, have power, don't have power. And I'm here to address all of it.
Well, it reminds me of when our kids were little, or even now, when someone's arguing and you hear them and they'll just shoot a horrible insult at you to try and knock you off your feet. And Jesus is not fazed in one bit about that. He's like, I don't have a demon. What's the matter with you?
Yeah.
That's not even the point.
He doesn't seem to be personally affronted by this.
No,
he just addresses it. And the example of a Samaritan is like someone throwing Nazi or Hitler into a conversation now.
Mm-hmm.
It is their way of shutting people down.
Right.
And
so
Jesus
horrible.
Is saying, I go to the Samaritan to build him up and to show that God can be at work in anybody at any time, his way, to work his will, especially in situations where others who should be doing his will are not.
Yeah. Well, Jesus continues to just give glory to the Father. He keeps turning it back on their words and saying, I'm not seeking my glory. It's not about me. I want to do what the Father says. And that's the problem that we're having. You're not hearing that this is the words of the Father. And he just keeps pressing that point. And maybe a little bit of frustration on his part. He finally says, before Abraham was, I am. Just to kind of knock them off their feet at that point, because they're not really hearing anything he's saying.
You know, the last time I hear an I am from his lips, it does literally knock them off their feet in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's such a gravitas to that statement when he finally says to it, are you the Jesus we're looking for? And he says, I am. And thunder literally shakes their bones and knocks them flat.
God, we'll talk about that in later on in John.
But the I am statement is not to be taken lightly.
No, and they knew that. Yeah. That was something that was so deeply ingrained in their fiber that they knew that was a tough thing to hear.
For 78 years now, we've depended on the faithful encouragement of friends just like you to bring this unique radio and media ministry to the air each day. You can drop us a line, ask a question, submit a prayer request, or download a free Bible study guide in just the same way. It all happens at CompassionRadio.com. This dynamic gospel is available to you in a handy paperback edition, and I'd love to send you one when you send your gift and ask for it. Remember, this is a 100% listener-supported ministry. If you've never supported us before, would you consider doing so this month? I know many of you can and want to give more, so I'll not be shy in asking for that support. Thank you for seriously considering this request and challenge. Our toll-free order line is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. If you need to call early or late, that's okay. Just make sure to leave your name and phone number, and we'll get back to you immediately when the doors open each business day. You can also give anytime online at CompassionRadio.com. And if you prefer to put a stamp on it, you can always find us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you as you stretch your faith this year of 2021. I hope we can be a real encouragement and challenge to you for many, many years to come. And make sure to ask for your own copy of The Dynamic Gospel when you contact us today.
Let's now switch to the Dynamic Gospel with this same passage.
You're obsessed with my demise. Can't get your minds on anything else. From day one, I've done nothing but tell you God's honest truth. Now the Abraham nation wants none of it. Indeed, you perfected the sins of your fathers. Yet again, the religious leaders were aghast. Are you calling us bastards? We weren't born in sin. No matter what you say, we're the proud inheritors of our father Abraham, and we worship no other god but his. Jesus pondered it. Well, not so far off the mark, I'd say. But if Abraham's God was your ultimate father, you'd be welcoming me, for I'm his spitting image. I like being with him, but he sent me here to you, so here I am. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? Because you're deaf, that's why. And now the devil's adopted your sorry selves. You've been in his house long enough that you act just like him. He was a murderer all along and rejected the truth at every turn. Honesty was completely foreign to him. It's one lie after another. He's the patron saint of liars. When I tell you the truth, you're deaf to it. The lie is all you understand. If I'm the liar, then prove it. If I'm telling the truth, then why won't you accept and follow it? Those who understand the language of heaven hear my words, and they're completely refreshed by them. On your ears, it's just mumble.
The language of heaven. I really like that phrase.
You hear nails on a chalkboard and think it's music. It's the language of hell, right where you came from. Man, oh man, the religious leaders replied, throwing up their hands. It's no stretch to say this man is a total heretic and a raving lunatic to boot. If anyone's full of devils, it's him. Jesus just let them have their little tantrum, then said, sorry, folks, no demons here. Everything I say esteems my Father. You do nothing but diss me. Guess what the Father thinks of that? In this world, I don't demand glory and honor. Worldly kings do that. The Father is the one who deserves it. I tell you this, anyone who takes to heart what I'm saying and willfully follows will find it impossible to die. He will glimpse eternity and pass from life to even better life. The religious leaders were through with this pretense of patience. We've got you now, you devil. Your lies are completely transparent. We all know Abraham died, just like the rest of the prophets. But you say, if you do what I say, you'll never die. You think you're better than them? What do you make yourself out to be, some kind of superhuman? If I say yes, Jesus replied, it means nothing on its own. It's the Father's word that counts. And he's saying plenty about me. You claim him as your own, but you're not listening when he opens his mouth. And he's done plenty of that already. You didn't know him then. You don't know him now. I do, and I'm compelled to admit it, however much you would prefer that I lie instead. I know him well enough to know what he wants. What else could I possibly do? The same Abraham you claim as father looked forward with great expectation to the day I would be revealed. If he was here now, he'd host a great reunion celebration. The religious cabal had now clenched their fists. You're not even 50 years old yet, and you're saying you know Abraham personally? Absolutely, Jesus replied. Before Abraham could be called your father, I had to be. Everything he hoped for, I am. Oh, it was too much. The fundamentalists and temple priests scrambled for any stone they could find. They were not about to allow such blasphemy to continue for another second. But in their blind fury, Jesus slipped right out from under their noses and he left the temple grounds.
I can just see them ranting and raving and just
foaming at the mouth.
Such a craziness that they can't even see where Jesus has gone.
But it's also understandable. We don't look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees across these centuries with much kindness.
That's
but
true.
It does go to the old adage that there but for the grace of God go I. If we really were steeped in a religious culture that couldn't comprehend a disruption, that couldn't admit that God could become man in the way that they'd never thought of before, would not entertain any change to their eschatology about how the end times would come about, and then he shows up and disrupts all of their understandings, it would be traumatic. And you would defend to the nth degree your integrity, your character, your reputation.
Well, it happens now in the church.
Yeah.
There are so many things that we as a body, we as believers, tend to hold on to that are not scriptural in full essence. They are things that were chosen from here and there in the scripture, and they become our theology. They become our deep-rooted belief. We don't know why we believe those things a lot of times, but we're going to defend them. And so I can understand what you're saying about that. When something is challenged that we've held on to for so long, it is difficult to let it go. Yeah. It is a rending and a tearing of our hearts.
It's a
lot of
murdering
times.
Of your God. I mean, think about when your dogma becomes your doctrine. When your doctrine becomes your theology becomes your God.
Right.
And God says, I'm not those things. These things are the things you made up to figure me out.
Well, let's be careful with that. Let's be careful
and
not to allow
that.
That's
what we got to end up with on this edition of Compassion Radio. This Chasing the Word series is available to you. Go to the website, check out the podcast, download your own copy of what we've been studying and the questions that go with it. We'd love to have you join with us in this wonderful journey through the book of John. God bless you as you stretch your faith this year of 2021. I hope we can be a real encouragement and challenge to you for many, many years to come. And make sure to ask for your own copy of The Dynamic Gospel when you contact us today. Remember, none of this is possible without you. If you believe hearing the good news from the front lines of faith builds your faith, then let us know today. Just call us at 1-800-868-2478. Write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859, or make your gift through our website, compassionradio.com. We need you, friend, so contact us today.